Blog Talk Radio.
Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad therein. I am just so excited that you'll join me on today. Why don't you just come right on in and just make yourself right at home. Grab your Bible. We are going to have another glorious lesson on today. Truly, the scripture has said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And today we are going to bless the Lord through his word, and as we receive another glorious lesson, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously blessed on today. So I welcome you on today, and I welcome what the Holy Spirit is going to do in and through us in this session. I want you to expect your blessing on today as never before. This is the best day of the rest of your life, and you're going to be tremendously blessed, child of God. So on today, I want you to turn with me over to Colossians chapter number 1, and our lesson is going to be on reconciliation. And we're looking at some of the lessons that have taken from Apostle Paul from when he was there in prison. And we're going to take a look at reconciliation and gain a greater understanding as we continue to take the word of the Lord, our God, which he has given unto us, and we are going to explore the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for us in our living today, that we can live a victorious life through the biblical lessons and principles that God has so graciously prepared and given unto the children of God. And so I know you're going to be blessed. And so let's take a look here at Colossians chapter number 1, verses 19 through verse 27. And it reads on this line, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, ye yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreproachable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God was made known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, let's take a look at verse number 20, and it reads on this line, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." We must recognize, child of God, we have been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we now have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you for all of our hearers that will hear the word of the Lord. We ask that the word fall on good ground and prepare the ground even as they listen, that they may be able to contain and hold the word of the Lord, that it may take root in their heart, God. We pray a covering over every one of the listener and even this lesson. Let your blood prevail and your anointing, God, resonate through this particular lesson, God, and bless your people. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, let's take a look at this lesson. Again, we're talking about the reconciliation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his death on the cross of Calvary. Following the sin of Adam and Eve, God reconciled from continual personal fellowship with mankind. Generations later, this distance was still apparent in that God's relationship with Israel was fraught with fear. For example, one misstep of the priest when offering a sacrifice could result in his death. Although he was fulfilling the law, the presence of sin stained him and jeopardized his life. Now, no one can fathom the great distance that sin brought between God and mankind. Now, although God seemed to be light years away, he planned a span, the great gulf between him and his creation through the cross. Now, through Christ's atoning work on the cross, every person who called on the name of the Lord can experience reconciliation with God. Now, the cross opened the door for change in mankind's relationship to God, where previously resentment and hostility was all going to be erased. Now, this open door, it also provided everyone an opportunity for healing, for restoration, as well as forgiveness. It is God's desire to restore mankind through reconciliation and sanctification. As the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians at Thessalonica, so is the will of God for all people. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now, let us look at another aspect here as we begin to look at the reconciliation. Let's look at the reconciliation through the death of Christ. Now, the Word became flesh through the incarnation, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and caused her to conceive and bring forth the Son of God. Born of this holy conception, Jesus Christ was the only man whose life have ever been sufficient to provide payment in full for the debt of every person's sin. When you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it reads on this line, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that's why we praise our Lord. And that's why we give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the praise, glory, and honor because of what he did as expanding that gap, as becoming that door for us to be able to enter in. Okay, let's continue to look in. Let's look at the enemies of God. Over in Romans chapter 5 and 10, it says, "For if, when ye were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Oh, that is so powerful. Now, before exploring the subject totally of reconciliation, one should examine the significance of what it means to be called an enemy of God. Now, an enemy is described as one who feels hatred towards, intended injury to, or oppose the interests of others, or foe. And you'll find that definition coming out of the American Heritage Dictionary. Now let's look further. Being an enemy of God is essentially self-destructive in nature. Paul reminded the Colossians that they once were enemies of God in their minds. Colossians 1, verse number 21. The body of an individual is the physical extension of the mind, the center of the consciousness, and the place of the origin of all sins. And you'll see that Proverbs 23 and 7, Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, James chapter 1, verses 4 through 15. A person sins because his thoughts are engulfed in self-will and pride through carnality. Now let's look further. Paul wrote to the Romans that the carnal mind is enmity against God. You'll see that over in Romans chapter 8. We must recognize that Paul used the word enemy to indicate that man was not just separated from God by sin, but that he was opposing and opposed to God in his body, even in his soul, and even in his spirit. Now let's take a look further. As we laid the backdrop of getting and gaining a better understanding of what was the enemy of God and when was I enemy of God, it was when I opposed and when I was kicking up against what God really had for me and things as a child of God, and even when I was in darkness and things, and we can use the analogy and even the example that is so relevant is that how that God would send people across our path. And they will invite us out to church, and we will laugh at them and make fun of them. And even sometimes when they come and knock on the door to invite or call us, we will run into another direction because we didn't want to have anything to do with them and things, because really we was opposing God and not recognizing that we was opposing his love that he had commended to us by sending someone to knock on our door, by sending someone to pick up the phone to call us, to invite us to come to his house. And so until we came into the revelation and the understanding that that was God's love being commended towards us to bring us to the place where God really, really, really wants us, we was not able to comprehend it all. But thanks be unto God for us saying yes to his will and yes to his way and yes to his keeping power. Now let's look further here. Oh my gosh, Shandarabo. Let us look further into the reconciliation. Now it is a work of God. Over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it said, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Now, before reconciliation was possible, there had to be a means of reconciliation. Now, sin had left a great distance between mankind and God that it was impossible for a human being to bridge the gap by themselves. Communion with God seemed to be hopelessly lost. However, God planned from the beginning that he would pay the ransom from sin's extortion. Now, sin calls for judgment, and God could not ignore its effect on his creation. His righteousness required him to issue indictment on all who sin, condemning the sinners to death and eternal separation from him. However, at the time of Adam's sin, God's choose to extend mercy instead of enacting his immediate sentence of death. In the fullness of time, he manifested himself in flesh through Jesus Christ so that he could bear the penalties of man's sin and thereby cease and erase the debt mankind could not pay. Now let us look further. Paul declared to the Colossians that all the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And you'll find that over in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. And so the Greek word for fulfillment is Purama, which means the completion and completeness. The incarnation of God completed the work of bridging the gap between himself and mankind. He completed that work. Now let's look further as we look here. In Colossians chapter number 1, verses 14 to 18, Paul declared the supremacy of Christ over all things, whether they're on earth or in heaven, visible or invisible. His purpose in doing so was emphasized that only Jesus could be the head over all creation. In their verses, Paul attacked the agnostic heresy that had influenced the Colossian church. Whether these heresy teaching was coming from the superstitions of the Greek or from the self-righteousness of the Judaizers, Paul wanted to emphasize the truth of the great work of reconciliation by the cross. He wanted to leave no doubt in their minds about the power of sin to separate and the power of Christ and the cross to reconcile. Now, in his letter to the Romans, Paul reminded them for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You'll find that over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Now, God, as the preeminent one, made the choice to give his life as a propitiation for all. Paul declared that the death of Jesus Christ established the work of reconciliation. Now, you can find it in these particular scriptures for your own examination. Colossians 1, verse 22, Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 7 through 11, Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. Now, let us look further at another aspect. Let's look at the result of reconciliation, being holy and without blemish in his sight. Let's examine that. Colossians 1, verses 21 through 22 state, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable in his sight." Now, judgment found its ultimate victim at the cross. When Jesus Christ was punished and chastised for the sins of mankind, his death served to plead the sinner's case before the righteous judge. Now, the former enemies of God can stand before him in the imputed righteousness of Christ, for he made him to be sin for us, which knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You'll see that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Now, Paul, he used two different Greek words for the word made in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The first one was pio, which means to make, to construct, to form, or to fashion. God planned to form himself into a man before creation, and as man, he experienced every weakness and temptation. Now, you can find that over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 15 through verse 16, and Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Now, although he was tested in every way while in the flesh, he never succumbed to the call of sin because he conquered sin in the flesh. He was and still is enabled to improve righteousness to mankind, giving us that same dunamis power to have total victory over sin. And so we must recognize that through and by the blood of the Lamb that was shedded on the cross of 2,000 years ago, it gives us power to live above sin and reproach. Now let's look further And the second Greek word that for made in the 2 Corinthians 5:21 is gymnai, which means to become or to be made or to finish. This speaks of the process as well as the completion of the work or project. The word gymnai refers to the process of something being made from nothing. Thus, when Paul spoke of being made righteous, the righteousness of God, he referred to something that had no prior existence, but was possible only through reconciliation. Now, prior to Jesus' work at Calvary, mankind had no privilege of reconciliation to God. Now, however, he finished the work that brings the believer into his righteousness. This coincides with Paul's teaching in verse 20, where he stated that any man who is in Christ is a new creature. In the scripture, the word creatures mean creation or thing created, and it refers to bringing something into existence for the very first time. Now, in Christ, we are new creations. We who were once enemies of God now possess his righteousness and are reconciled unto him or back unto him. And as we looked at that definition, it said it is to be made new as though this is the very first existence. And such as it is with our lives, when we've given our life unto the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of our sins and been born again of the water and spirit, it is as though we have been brought into that newness, and which it is. We have been brought into the newness of life. Now let's look further. Blameless in his sight. Let's take a look at that. It said an individual cannot continue to sin and be a participant in the kingdom of God. The two lifestyles are incompatible. The death of Jesus, however, reconciled mankind to God by opening the door for all to become new creatures and creations in Christ. Reconciliation allows one to be formed into the image of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. His perfect moral and spiritual purity made him the perfect substitute and model for all mankind. Paul admonished the church in Ephesus to put on the new man of righteousness and true holiness. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. It reads on this line, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And so here Paul is admonishing us to put on that new man. We have to put it on, and which have been created in God's righteousness and true holiness. Put on God, put on the things of God, and clothe ourselves in the things of God that he's given us by. How do you do that, you may say? Well, through reading the word. After one has given their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, it's key even to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin. If you go back and look at Acts chapter 2 and read that whole entire book of Acts, it will give you revelation. It will give you understanding of the apostle carrying out the command in which Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, gave unto him and them. So read the book of Acts, and I pray that God will give you revelation and understanding of that book even as you read. Now, one should continually, with every benefit of salvation, to fully appropriate all the potential and power of this new relationship with God. Reconciliation in and of itself is not salvation. It only works to take away the enmity and condemnation that sin produces in a person's life. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, telling him that unless a man is born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. After Christ's ascension, The apostle taught the correct response to deal with sin and experience the new birth. You'll find that over in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, through Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, an individual is presented without blame or indictment before the throne of God. Because of his work of reconciliation, God only sees the born-again believers as clean and pure before him. Now, let's take a look at another aspect of this reconciliation. Let's look at the evidence of one being reconciled back unto God and things. Let's take a look at that. Continuing in the faith. Now, reconciliation brings a person to a new relationship with God, but they should progress from there. Jesus said, I am the way, or by means which one enters the kingdom of God. You'll see that over in John chapter 14 and 6. His life is the prototype for all who desire to please God. But achieving God's approval is a lifelong progress of spiritual growth and maturity. And so see here, we want to recognize that even though that God wants us to grow, he does not only want us just to grow, but he wants us to become mature saints of God, mature children of God, and things maturing in the things that God has placed into our hands as we continue to move forward. Now, let's take a look here. The New Testament clearly proclaimed the message of mankind's restoration to favor and fellowship with God. This reconciliation has a purpose beyond having peace of mind and heart. Now, the Lord desires to bring the believer with him before the throne of God without fault or any indictment. But for that to have happened, one should continue in faith. Should one choose not to do so, God's work of reconciliation for that individual is vain. God spanned the breach between himself and mankind for one reason, and that is to bring harmony to the relationship that was broken and destroyed by sin. Now, let's look further as we look at another aspect, as we keep unpacking this and looking closer into this word reconciliation and all of the ramification and implication and the theological ramification that it has for us as a child of God. Now, let's look at grounded and settled and unmoved from the hope of the gospel. Romans 5 and 10 state that through reconciliation, the believer shall be saved by the life of Jesus, which includes deliverance, healing, and rescued from sin. Now, through salvation, one experienced the life-changing power of the Holy Ghost that continually delivers an individual from sin or in even behaviors. The presence of the Holy Ghost in a person's life is evidence that they have experienced the true power of reconciliation and the power of God residing down within their life, that have taken abode or resident in their life, in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit. You'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13 through 14. Now, God's great desire is that every person experience reconciliation is evident by the fact that he gave his life to provide reconciliation. One who experienced this relationship of reconciliation with God become grounded, settled in their new life, knowing that this relationship exists due to God's unconditional love. And truly, the most important fact concerning reconciliation is its availability and power to bring about a change in the life of all who believe. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9 through verse number 11. Now, let's look here. Now, we explored that. We looked at it. We explored it. Now, let's take a look here and things at some other things. We want to look at now the ministry of reconciliation. We looked and explored the works of reconciliation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the plan that God had to bridge the gap and bring us back into right relationship with our Lord and with our God through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to look at another aspect of this same ministry, but how it looked and how it's benefiting and going to bless the church. Now let's take a look at it. It said the benefit of the benefit of the church. And let's take a look at this. At the end of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul indicated that the power of the gospel brought his ministry into existence. Since Paul had now experienced right standing with God, he had the privilege and responsibility of bringing this truth to a lost world. Indeed, the message of reconciliation through the death of Jesus had been given to the church so that the people of God may proclaim it to every nation. Paul ranked proclaiming the message of reconciliation as the primary calling. See Colossians 1, verses 24 through 25. Now, the duty of proclaiming the gospel is shouldered by the differing ministry of the church as listed in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 11 through verse 12. And it said, and God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Now, while the different ministry are actively involved in edifying the church, the focus of the message of reconciliation should be on the true identity of Jesus Christ. He is Emmanuel, the divine head, the one true God. If he was anything other than the incarnation of the eternal Godhead, reconciliation would have not ever been possible. You can check over in 2 Corinthians 5 through 19. Now, the goal of the message of reconciliation is to present every believer as perfect and complete before God. That is the goal of the reconciliation. Further, thus the reconciliation ministry should inspire those who have taken advantage of its power to progress forward and towards completion. Now, the Holy Ghost completes the progress by progressively producing the character and the nature of Jesus Christ in every believer. And you can see that over in Hebrews 5, verses number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12. Then you can look at Jude chapter 24. This is a progression work that God is doing in and through our lives, that not only does he want us to grow, but he wants us to mature, taking on the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as the nature of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that progression through and by the Holy Ghost is going to empower us to begin to allow that fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives, in the midst of the storm, still displaying the fruit of the Spirit, in the midst of perplexity, still yet bearing the nature and the characteristic of our God, in the midst of strong persecution and trials and tribulation, still yet bearing the characteristic and the fruit of the Spirit and the nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How? In and through and by the power of the Holy Ghost. because outside of that, it cannot take place and be sustained until even the rapture. It's only through and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at fulfilling the word of God. Since the cross of Jesus Christ pacified the enmity caused by ungodliness and satisfied the terms necessary to bring peace between mankind and God, it became a springboard for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Jesus told the disciple of this promise over in John chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. It states, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now let's look further. It says, the church fulfilled the word of God by proclaiming the message of healing, deliverance, and forgiveness to a lost world. And we'll see that over in John 17, 20, 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, Ephesians 1 and 13, Colossians 1 and verses 23 to 24, as well as proclaiming the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at some of the scriptures here. It says, over in John chapter 17, verse 20, it states, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words." That's John 17 and 20. Another scripture, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but minister by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man." 1 Corinthians 3 and 5. Ephesians 1 and 13 state, "In whom ye are also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed." Here it is. With the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit of promise. Now let's look at another one at Colossians chapter number 1, verse 23 through 25. And I'll read that also in your hearing. "If ye continue in the faith," here it is, "grounded and rooted, and not being moved from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." Now, let me stop there for just a moment. As children of God, as never before, I know we're recognizing that many things that are happening, there's a lot of things that are coming up against the children of God, a lot of trials and tribulation there, as where it is really trying your own very faith, even in God. But Paul admonished us as the children of God. And I want to admonish my listeners on today and encourage you, even as what the scripture have said, that if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Now, the question will be, God, am I grounded? God, am I settled? These questions we could ask ourselves. Am I settled and grounded in my faith in God? Am I settled and grounded in the faith in the word of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Am I settled and grounded in the promises of God? Am I grounded and settled in the fact that he is really my Jehovah Jireh and that he is my provider, that he is my healer, that he is my way out of no way, that he is my deliverer, he is my all in all. I have to become settled in that. I must be settled in the fact that I have wrapped all of my faith and my confidence in the blessed word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, if you said it, you will surely be able to bring it to pass. Oh, shandarabosha. I'm grounded in the fact that, God, you said that you are a healer no matter what the prognosis, no matter what the diagnosis, no matter what my body is saying. God, you're still yet the healer. And you sent your word to heal them. God, I'm settled in the fact that your word states that your word has gone out of your mouth and is not going to return unto you void, but it's going to accomplish that there which it has been sent. I am settled in that, God. I am grounded in that word and promise that you have given unto me as the child of God. Oh, Shanda, come on, put your hands together. I feel the anointing power of God exuding even right now and things. We must become settled, not in what I see, not in what I smell, not in what I'm feeling, not even what I see going on, but in what the blessed word of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has said, because I'm going to believe his report. Now, I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to do what's everything that's in my power to do that which is right. And when God showed me the light, I'm going to walk therein. I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to eat the things that are healthy. I'm going to change my diet when I recognize that I'm eating things that is violating the very core of my whole being and essence and my body. I'm going to change my body, and through the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to change those things, because I recognize that if I'm not eating right, it can have adverse effect. But once I come into that knowledge and begin to walk therein and begin to adhere to that which is the principles of God, and even doing the right thing, then God will get in the center of that, and he will work according to his own will, because I'm crying out for wisdom. I'm crying out for his direction. I'm crying out for him to lead and guide me into all truth and things, because I'm seeking God with my whole heart, mind, and soul. And he promised that he will lead us. He promised that he will guide us into not some truth, into partial truth, not into obscure truth, but he said into all truth. He promised that he would do it and he will make it good. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He is that type of a loving God. He's our everlasting Father and that Prince of Peace, that great I Am, the lily in the valley, the bright and morning star. Oh, my. Oh, I feel a praise in my spirit of the goodness. He said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, not only for me, but for all, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving us. Now, let us look further in this same scripture in things. And he said, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, the Bible did let us know that there was going to be a great falling away and things, even at these last day, and then there was going to be also a great outpouring. But what we find here in the scripture, as I was reading and things, it said, be not moved from the hope of the gospel. Children of God, no matter what you see or hear, we cannot be moved from the hope of the gospel. And things, even when we don't know and can't understand it or figure it out, the Bible said, be still and know that I am God. We must recognize that that may become a time where I have to still myself, be quiet, and allow God to work and allow God to unfold what he's doing, because I've done all that I could do. I'm trusting God and believing God, but in the midst when I don't see anything, I still must believe and trust that God is still yet at work. And I am not going to be moved from the hope of the gospel, from the things that God has given to us as the children of God, but I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, let's look. He says, goes on. He said, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and filled up that which is behind of all affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That's over in Colossians, chapter number 1, verse 23 through verse number 25. And so as we continue on and moving forward in the things of God, God is going to bless. Now let's look here in our closing here that reconciliation is the key that opened the doors to all of the promises contained in the New Testament. The culmination of the work is realized when a life that has been ruled by sin is wonderfully changed by the power of the name of Jesus. There is no greater testimony of the word of God being fulfilled than that of a life that has been changed by the reconciling power and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I come to tell you that God is still doing the same thing through his precious Son, is reconciling and working reconciliation even in the lives of individuals still yet today. He's reconciling. Still yet, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back, talking to them, and pointing them back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here we find that also over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it declares that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The subsequent verse revealed that this peace is obtained through the work of the cross. Now, from the day of Cain, defiled God, to the day of the thief on Golgotha, mocking Jesus Christ, the hostility of man toward God was obvious. The effect of their rebellion brought condemnation and separation from God and can be easily detected in every war and every immoral act, in broken homes and in prisons and any rehabilitation center. However, the message of reconciliation through the death of Jesus is as true and efficacious as it is when it was first proclaimed. Since sin has been exposed and defeated through the cross, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15 reads, "For as much then as the children are partaker of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through the fear of death were subject to bondage." That's Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 14 through 15. Now, let us look here. The blood of Jesus has overcome the power that sin had over mankind, opening the door to a new and living way. Paul sums up the purpose of reconciliation when he declared, "Even the mystery which have been hid from the ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Oh, come on and put your hands together and just shout hallelujah. You'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 26, verses 26 and 27. The hope of glory. I tell you, he is such a wonderful Father, an everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace, who have all power in his hand, child of God. And I want you to know, as never before, we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to live a victorious life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can't do it in and of ourselves, but we can do it in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has reconciled us, brought us back to himself, taken the blood of his own Son and paid the debt of sin and pardoned us of our sins and iniquity. And so in Colossians, it says that we have been reconciled back to God through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. And the reason this line, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreproachable in his sight. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, he and be not moved from the hope of the gospel which he hath heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. For even the mystery has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God hath made known what is the riches of his glory, of his mystery, mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. I tell you again, that hope of glory, child of God, a child of God. We have been given that ministry of reconciliation. As the scripture has said, that we have at one time was alienated, an enemy in our minds by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled us in his body of his flesh through the death, to present you holy and unblameable in his sight. Oh, child of God, we have so much to rejoice about, that great glorious work that was done on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. It opened the door and bridged the gap. It paid the price. It provided us with the peace that we need and have in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here in our closing, it said, for if when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled shall be saved by his life. Oh, child of God, child of God. Father, we thank you for this lesson, God. We thank you, dear God, for those that have heard of and learn even more insight about your reconciliation and your power through the great work that you performed on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank you for the work that you performed. Thank you for the reconciliation, God. Thank you, oh God, for taking away the enmity and the condemnation, dear God. And Father, producing, Lord, your own life. And, Lord, your nature and character, even in our lives, Father, help us not to be moved from the gospel, God. Help us to hold fast and be grounded and rooted, Lord, in your word and in the gospel and in the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give understanding, God. Give, Lord Jesus, illumination and insight and revelation, God. Manifest unto your people, Lord. Bring great consolation, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, proclamation, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, liberation, Father, as you continue to move, rest, rule, and abide, henceforth and forevermore in and through our lives. Bring your character forth in our lives. Bring maturity, God, in our life, God. Bring, oh God, that which you have given unto us as the people of God. Help us to walk in your power. Help us to walk in your strength. Help us to, Lord, exercise that which you have given to us, God, to bear the fruit of righteousness and to bear the fruit of your spirit, God, that we be found, Lord, pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent, oh, how excellent is thy name, O Most High. Oh, Ramashandaroboshekanda. We thank you, God. We praise your blessed name. Now, Father, I ask that you bless, Lord, the hearers. Bless those that was upon this line, Lord. Those that will listen later, God. We ask that you bring life. Let this be like sinew unto their spiritual being, God. Let this be a good taste in their mouth, that they can taste of you and see how good that you are. Bring the sweetness of your word, of your revelation to the palate of their spiritual tongue. And Father, we thank you. We'll give you the glory and the honor, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on and just shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the great I am. All praise, glory, power, and dominion belong unto him. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Oh, child of God, I'm so glad that you were with me on today. I pray the blessings of the Lord that will make you rich and add no sorrow, that you continue to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, for the glory of the God, of the Father, which is in heaven. Be thou blessed, child of God, and walk in the strength and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And remember, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one miracle, one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So, child of God, go back and ask again. Continue to seek, and don't dare stop knocking, and watch God perform it on your behalf. As I agree with you, according to God's sovereign will, so let it be done and manifested in your life. I pray that you have been blessed, edified, and strengthened in and through the blessed word of the Lord our God. May God bless you until we meet again. Be thou blessed. Bye-bye.